Okay, so we started this sugya yesterday. So just to recap, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that there's a prohibition, it sounds like, for someone who's already asked a halakhic question to ask somebody else, right? The Gemara in Nida seems to present a prohibition on the rabbi, on the posig, on weighing in when another posig has already weighed in on a question, right? So, Tosros, there's two different Tosros, one in Nida, one in Avodah Zarah, which highlight the two ways you can deal with these sugyot. One is to say there are two different prohibitions. That's the Gemara, that's the Tosos that we have here in Avodah Zarah. That it is both prohibited for, there is some level of prohibition both on the Shoel and on the Nish'al, but Tosos seems to think that both of them are about, not fundamentally about getting a second opinion. Tosos thinks there isn't a problem getting a second opinion, but rather of getting a second opinion while going around the back of the original posig, right? Which seems to work with the position of Rashi in Nida, who says that this entire prohibition is only about kavod. It's only about kvodo shel rishon. Right? It's about the honor of the first posig, and therefore it makes sense. Now, we also noted that in Tosfos, it seems to be that part of what drives him this conception is that he thinks that fundamentally there can't be a problem of getting a second opinion of halacha, because it sounds like he thinks there's one right answer. When you're looking for one right answer, so you consult different people. And therefore, he comes up with this alternative that the problem isn't asking. The problem is asking without...
Right,
with a level of dishonesty there. Then we saw that the Ravid, and then Tosos in Nida, on the other hand, thinks there's only a problem on the posig. Right, there is no problem. A Shoel can do whatever he wants. It's just that a posig can step on the toes of another posig. That was possibly one. The Ravid, as we saw, as presented in the Mukhe Yosef and in the and the Meiri. And a little bit in the Ravid, seems to say that what makes psak binding, why can't you ask another question?
Because that's the word of God. There's only one answer.
No. Ravid, because you committed to it.
Right.
And therefore the Ravid has the radical position, right, as Miri quotes him, that even if, what happens?
Even if he changes his mind.
He changes his mind, Lakula.
You still
have to do it, right? You still have to do it. Now, this is very problematic.
What if he goes vice versa? What if he goes from Kula to Chumra?
So you might not be committed to it, right? Because you still, right? You might not be committed to it, right? Because you already asked. Now, I should know that this is only in one nafkamina, right? You can say the reason you aren't allowed to ask a second person is because you committed. It's a neder,
right.
And still think that if the rabbi retracts, that you can follow his retraction.
Right.
I mean, the Ravid is taking a very, as Miri presents it, the Ravid is taking a very, very specific. The Ravid takes a very specific conception of this, which is that not only are you committing to the psak, you're committing to basically the first words out of his mouth, right? Such, right? You could have just said, "No, I'm committing to follow whatever he says," and therefore, if he changes his mind, then I can change my mind too. Meaning, I didn't commit to his first psak; I committed to him.
Right?
I mean, you could, right? So the Ravid, as presented by Eri, is a radical, radical position, right? You don't have to go that far. Now we noted that the Ritva, on the other hand, right, on the third hand, right, the Ritva, yeah, what did the Ritva say?
It's the word of God.
So Ritva says it's Shavi Chaticha di Isura. Right. So that's what I suggested, right? The Ritva, all the Ritva tells you is Shavi Chaticha di Isura, right, which is the formulation of the Ran, namely that the rabbi somehow makes it usher. Then we ask, well, how could it be that a posek makes it usher? It doesn't make any sense, right? The posek isn't doing anything. So it could be, based on the Ritva's position, quoting the Chochmei Tzarev and Erevin, that's not true. That maybe the job of a posek isn't just to clarify. The job of a posek is to create halachic realities, right? Which is about the most extreme formulation that you could get. So we were up to seeing that inside, right? Up to seeing the Ritva inside. So let's go through the Ritva. Okay. So the Ritva says as follows. Okay. So Tanu Rabbanan. Let's go through it. Shalach Chacham. Peirsh Chacham Ra'i Le'Ora'ah. V'time, lo yish alacham v'tayer lacham akam v'asar, lo yish alacham v'yatir. So he says, why not? Perish. Lo tema lo yish alachatchila davka mishum kvod harishon. Okay, so before we even read the Ritva, what is one potential nafkamina to whether you think the reason you can't ask a second opinion is because of kavod or because either it's a neder or some metaphysical reality? What's one potential nafkamina?
Bigger chacham.
So one's going to be bigger chacham, hold that thought, right? The Ritva speaks about a very simple one, which is what happens if you did ask a second, you did go for a second opinion? So now what?
The rabbis have to.
Oh yeah. No, so like you lied. You went. You got a second opinion. You now have two opinions.
Wait, we're saying that.
Right.
But we're saying that she didn't inform the first rabbi about that.
You didn't.
The Ritva said you didn't.
Right. But now it's done.
The Ritva said if they're both like.
Wait, so tell me. So logically, so what would you say? Right, if you got a second opinion, so according to Tosfos, if you think it's kavod, what would the halacha be? What do you think?
Well, according to the first one.
Not necessarily.
They just talk.
No, according to them, now at this point, you're not bound to the first one.
Right.
Because what was the problem with the kavod? According to Tosfos,
it's when did you... It's disrespectful to go to this.
Yeah, but you already did.
Right.
And now you have two psakim in front of you.
Right.
Right? So now, b'di'eved, could you take the second guy's posek, the psak? Probably. Right, meaning the kavod's already been violated.
The Ritva is
right,
so many things.
Right, no, I'm saying according to Tosfos.
Oh.
I'm saying what's the difference? So one possibility the Ritva notes is bid the evid. If you already did it, can you now accept the second psak?
Right.
If you hold like Tosfos, when did you hurt the first guy's honor?
As soon as you go to that.
When you asked, right, and you didn't, and you weren't up, you weren't above board about asking, right? But if you already did it, you already disrespected him.
Right.
So now. There's good reason to say that are you allowed to listen to the second posek?
Yes.
Yes, right? What's done is done.
Because you lied?
No, because it's already done. You shouldn't have done it, but it's done. Right? You asked two rabbis. You now have two opinions.
Yeah.
Right? So if you think the whole problem was respect, you've already violated the guy's respect. Right? Now you could say it's an even greater violation to listen to the second rabbi over the first rabbi. But now it would also be disrespectful to listen to the second rabbi over the first rabbi, meaning you're stuck. Right, you at this point you've already disrespected the first rabbi by asking the second rabbi, and now no matter which way you go, if one said asr, one said mutter, you're disrespecting one of them.
Right.
And therefore, the Ritva says, if you hold like Tosfos, if you hold like Rashi, so then you would say that I'm not supposed to ask again.
But if I did. Right.
But the Ritva, let's say you hold like the Ravid, that it's about neder.
Right. Then you go according to the Chumra.
Then you have to go like the first one. Right, because you already accepted the first one, right? Especially if the first one is Chumra, yes.
Second one you said, go like Rashi and Tosfos, because they talk about
Kavod. So now what's done is done, right? So now you could go like either one, first rabbi or second rabbi, right? Probably. If you think about it, neder, you can't because you already accepted. Let's say the first rabbi was Machmir.
Who says
you
are already?
That seems to be the Ravid as presented by the Meiri, right? Not the way the Ravid is presented by the Ran, but the way the Ravid is presented by the Meiri. But the Ritva, as we said, is a third possibility. He doesn't like this whole thing, and he says, "Perish, lo tema lo yishalechatchila dafka umishum kavod arishon." Don't tell me like Rashi and Tosfos,
right,
that it's only lechatchila. But if you ask the second rabbi, so that's fine, right? Ela afilu b'diavad. Even if you already done it, imshal ein tarasa v'etera shalachron klum. If you ask the second rabbi,
you have to go.
It doesn't matter. It is irrelevant. He cannot be matir for you. Why? Because since the first posek is a posek, right? He's allowed to paskin. He's a chacham. He's a wise person. Be careful. This thing's going to collapse. Kishahora alea la asor olitumah shav yechaticha de isura. He has turned it into Isser. Etc. And I skip down a few lines. He says, Vaha afilu b'sheni gadol min arishon b'chachma uvim minyan. This is true even if the second rabbi is a bigger Talmud Chacham.
Right?
Doesn't matter. Midalom and falkin and bereisha can all feeling him and say where shall you shnei v'chulei v'dinu. And he said this makes sense. V'chevan dekam shav yachati chadias the isura. Since the first rabbi made it usher, shuv ein la heter olam mis. It can never be permitted. V'afilu shenode sheta'a. The Rishva goes even farther. What does he say? What does that mean? What is Noda Shata?
Oh, Noda is known.
It's known. Shata. Open your Ritva, you have one.
Dude,
come on, open it. Chaf Aleph.
Yep. When we say Noda.
Chaf, yeah, you have it?
Known.
If it's known, Shata.
Shata, that it's now.
That is a mistake.
Ta is a mistake.
Ta. Okay. Ted Ayin Hey. Right, the Ritva says, even if it turns out it was a mistake.
So it is under Neda.
No! It's not under Neder.
If it's a mistake, you can't go back. Like, you can't change.
Yeah, but he doesn't say because of Neder. He says because they're posek. Shav yechati chati isura.
What's Neder again?
A vow. Right, he said, these are, you have to be careful. Right? Is it Shav yanafshe? Is it the shoel who's changing its status?
Right.
Or the posek who's giving it a status?
Yeah, but if the posek is taking the mutter and usher from God, from the words of God.
It's not Neder, it's from God.
Right. But he brought down Mutter, but he made a mistake. He meant to say Aser. Or vice versa.
Yeah, and he said, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It in here is, he says, that's only. He now he clarifies. Now this is one of the important things. He said it depends how bad the mistake is. If you made a mistake in what's called Ta'ut Bidvar Mishnah, which means what? He makes a mistake in a basic text, in a Mishnah, in a Pasuk. So then, it doesn't, the Psak doesn't take effect. Why not?
Because that's not what the Word of God is.
Right. He says, in orata orata klal. That's not called a Psak. That's just a mistake. He said, v'lo chal isur bechaticha zod v'chal rasha le'tira. There is no isur that took effect.
But rabbis interpret things different all the time.
Correct. And that's what he says. He says, but if the ilo. And then I'm skipping down. He says, but if it was a Ta'ut Bidvar Mishnah, sorry, a Ta'ut Bidshikul Adat, which is something that even, it might be wrong, but it's not a fundamental mistake. It's a mistake in the weighing the opinions, like later opinions. I'm oversimplifying that, but that's okay for now. It says, Taima Kedamrin Shikol Hora Bidta'ut Bidvar Mishnah, Filo Bidfigadol Ador Laforai, Lokshin Lakwal. Because a mistake in a Mishnah, that isn't a psak, doesn't matter who you are. So the case is as follows. There's a machlokes of later poskim. Majority view seems to go. The main view seems to go like one of them. Max. But it's not. But it's not set. So there, he makes him. He poskins like the less likely one. That's called a ta'ut b'shikul adat, and it is binding in this case. Now he does clarify that, let's say the posek himself would have changed his mind had he known about certain information, right? Like if he knew that his rebbe said it was mutter, he would never have said aser. So then the Ritva says, then maybe you can retract, right? Because since the posek himself
says
would retract, it's for him, it's like it's a fundamental mistake. Ta'ut Bidvar Mishnah. Now first he says, v'heve yodea didafka k'tani sharishon machmir v'arishon mekel avo mitara lutuma me'eter lizor olech achar amumche shebahem. Now he says that this is maybe only if it was le mikula. Maybe this is only if it was mi chumra le kula. But le kula le chumra, if an expert would weigh in, you would go towards chumra, right? However. He says a little bit later on, if you skip down into, this is on column Chav Bet, however, skip, it's like two-thirds of the way down. He says, V'botach haticha atzma, shenech l'kuba, kem and ishkulim, heim, v'chiyadri, if l'kuba, ein arat yisur chal, botach haticha. He later on says, however, if they are of equal stature, so then what happens if the second rabbi tries to make it usher?
Then it's fine.
It doesn't work. But the second rabbi can't make it usher. So the Ritva.
Oh, if they're equal.
Correct.
Right.
So the Ritva.
Why can't the second rabbi do usher?
Ah, so why not? So let me put it this way, okay? Let me put it out this way. So far we have three positions, right? We have those who think that it's, that the reason you can't ask get a second opinion is because of honor, respect. You have those who think it's because of neder, right, your own personal commitment. And then this third, very metaphysical view, which we explained based on the other Ritva, namely, that right, according to the Ritva and Erevin, there are multiple truths up in heaven, and the Posek seems to be bringing down a particular truth and making it usher.
Whoever just made that said.
This is the Ritva in Erevin. It's Masechta. So many of the Achronim suggest that what, right, we've seen one nafkamina. One nafkamina might be what happens if you ask for a second opinion. Right, if you ask for a second opinion, so if you think it's just about honor, so now you've already asked. Right, but if you think it's possibly two or three, so doesn't matter, right? You can't listen to the second opinion.
Sorry, I'm serious.
Yes?
Yeah.
But what's another nafkamina? So the Achronim say, what happens should this only work mikul l'chomer or even mikhomer l'kula? Right? Should it only work from asr to mutter or even from mutter to asr? So you tell me, if it's about honor, if it's about respect, should you be allowed to ask two poskim whether it's mikhomer l'kula or mikul l'chomra?
Nope.
No, for sure not. Right? The Tosin said that explicitly. If it's about neder, so then what?
Nope.
You still wouldn't.
Why not?
You wouldn't ask. What was the thing? What was what you said in English?
It is about neder.
Yeah, respect. Fine.
No.
If it's not about respect, if it's about neder,
it shouldn't be.
So
if it's a personal vow, then yeah, you're not
allowed. To.
So it should be able to. All the Achronim say it should be.
Because you already took on what the first rabbi said.
Yeah, but so what? Right.
So what?
Can you take a? If you're taking a vow,
can you take what that rabbi?
Yeah, but so what? Can you take a neder?
Then it's mutter.
No, because if you take a neder to say, can you say take a neder to say I'm going to treat this as permitted?
If it's wrong,
but it might not. It's not wrong.
No, even if it's right. No, you can't do that. Why not? Because it's meaningless, right? Think about it, right? What is a vow? A vow could be, look, I'm not going to eat apples. Well, that's
yeah,
right.
And you can't go from
home. Oh, one second. Let me spell this out, okay? Forget the psak for a second, right? Just a regular run-of-the-mill case.
Right.
What types of vows, nidar mitzvah, can I take? I can take a vow that I
make a chumra.
Will eat an apple.
Right.
I can take a vow that I won't eat an apple.
Right.
Right? Can I make a vow that I will be allowed to eat an apple if I want?
If you want to.
No, it's meaningless. Right?
Yeah,
right? A vow has to mean something. Yeah, I can take a vow to say I can't do something. I can take a vow to say I have to do something.
Right. So
what can I not do?
No.
But I can take a vow to say that I'll do this if I feel like it. Because that's saying you're not committing to anything. That is exactly what it's...
Can I do this? Can I lift up this book? The rabbi says yes. That's chula. The rabbi says no. That's chumra.
Correct. No. Yes. But he didn't say if it was... If the two possibilities were, is it usher to pick up this book, or do I have to pick up this book? So then you're right.
Usher to pick up this book, or do I
have to? Or chiyuv. But if it's usher or mutter, right, let's say I ask the rabbi, am I allowed to pick that book?
And he says no.
And he says yes.
He says yes. Then
he says yes. Do I have to pick up the book?
No.
But
it's a neder.
That's the point. That's the point. Right? Meaning, if it's about a vow...
Right.
So you can't have a vow to say that I'm allowed to do something. You can have a vow to say I have to do something or I'm not allowed to do something.
But
to say that I can if I want to,
you can't
right?
say that.
Right, that's a meaningless vow. And therefore, the Achronim point out that if you possibly derive it, the issue of asking a second opinion is only problematic if what?
Is if you go from Chumra to Kula.
Trying to go from Chumra to Kula, from Kula to Chumra. Because what's it going to be? Right? If you're saying that what? I take Danny as my posek, and I say, is it mutter to pick up this book?
And he says no.
And then he says, yes.
Right.
So now, what have I done?
You're allowed to pick up this book.
Right. But have I made a neder that I'm going to be allowed to pick up the book?
You've accepted upon yourself that you're allowed to do this thing.
But that's not a meaningful statement.
Why not?
Because... You admitted that in the case not of Psak.
You're if I allowed say, to do something now. Before you weren't sure. You're allowed to do it. Now
if
you
I,
do it.
If I take a vow that I'm allowed to eat an apple if I feel like it. Does that obligate me to do anything?
No, answer my question. The answer is no.
Good.
But you weren't sure if you were able to eat that apple.
Correct.
Now
and if Danny
you
tells
could
me
eat that apple.
Correct. But
then
if
you
I
can't go the opposite and say you can't eat that apple because you already accepted upon yourself that you're allowed to eat that apple.
No.
Yes. You already took it upon yourself that you're allowed to eat that apple.
Listen to what the equivalent is.
You
right? Listen to me first. Okay. Right? If I say I'm taking a vow that I'm going to be allowed to eat this apple, right? And then 3 hours later, I say I'm taking a vow that I'm not going to be allowed to eat this apple.
It'll be meaningful.
Does that work? No, it would be meaningful. The second,
this,
of course, it
you already accepted that you're allowed to pick
up
the apple.
No, leave Psak alone. Leave the Psak case. Regular run-of-the-mill case.
What?
We agree that if I say I swear that I am allowed to eat this apple,
right?
Is that a meaningful statement?
Yes.
No.
Why?
Because you can't make a vow that you're allowed to do something. You can take a vow that I'm not allowed to or that I have to. You can't take a vow that you're allowed to.
A vow is a restrictive
thing. Right? Yes. Thank you, Max. A vow has to restrict you or obligate you. It can't permit you unrestrictedly. That makes no sense.
So the rabbi says mutter.
No, forget Psak. I'm talking about a regular vow. No. Wait for a regular vow. Regular vow. Right? If I at 9 in the morning I say, I promise that I'm allowed to eat an apple.
Right?
Is that a meaningful statement?
That
no.
Allowed to eat an apple.
That I'm allowed to. Not that I have to, not that I can't. That I'm allowed to if I feel like it. Is that a meaningful statement?
I say yes.
No, it's not because it doesn't restrict me.
Okay, on Shabbos.
No, it's not.
On Shabbos. Are you allowed to use the Erev? And your rabbi says yes.
I'm not talking about Psak.
But it's the same case.
No, it's not.
It's the same case.
Wait. If I say, I promise that I'm allowed to use this cup, I'm telling you, this is a fact. That is a meaningless statement. That is a worthless shvua.
Why? It's the same thing as the Erev. I'm allowed to use the Erev.
No!
You're allowed to, though.
You're not allowed to.
No! You can't make a vow that you're allowed to do something. That's meaningless. A vow has to restrict you or obligate you. It can't... Right?
It's not that you...
The status quo. What does a neder do? A neder changes my current reality.
Right?
Right now, am I allowed to use this cup? I said nothing.
No.
I'm not talking about a psak. I'm talking about a regular
cup.
That's
when you ask a question.
I'm not talking about answering a question, Uncle. I'm talking about a regular case. Psak. A regular shvua.
Right?
I have a cup sitting on the table. I say, I swear that I am going to be allowed to use this cup if I feel like it.
Right.
Is that a meaningful thing to do?
Without psak.
Yes.
Fine, no.
No. Not at all. Why?
Because it doesn't change it.
Because a shvua has to change something. It has to restrict you or obligate you. If I say, I promise I'm not going to use this cup, is that meaningful?
Yes.
Yes. If I say, I promise that I will use this cup, is that meaningful?
Yes.
Yes. If I say, again, if I promise that I'm going to be allowed to if I feel like it,
right?
Is that meaningful? No. That's a meaningless... No, it's not. It's not. It doesn't mean anything. Because does it change the status quo?
Yes.
No.
You're going from a state of unknowing to a state of
knowing. No, before I was allowed to if I felt like it.
You sure if you were allowed to.
No, I'm not talking about Psak. I'm not talking about Psak.
Oh, if you already know that you're allowed to use this cup.
Yes.
That's not what we're talking about, though.
Yes, it is.
If you know that you're allowed to do this thing, then why are you even asking the rabbi?
Again, I'm not talking...
But that's what we're not talking about.
No, I'm not talking about that. Nachum, stop. I'm trying to explain to you how a shvua works. Not the psak one. A regular run-of-the-mill vow.
I understand how a shvua works.
Let me try this again.
No, I understand. Fine. In a regular case, that does not make sense. It does not work.
Good.
In this case, though, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Because you have... You're going because, from a state, then why even ask? If you know you're allowed to do something, why ask the rabbi?
Because, no, but if it's about shvua, it needs to change something, right? Before, right, when I ask Ashayla, I ask Danny, I said, can I use this cup?
Right.
If he says no,
right.
So now I've committed to saying no.
Right.
But let's say I ask Danny, can I use this cup? And he says yes.
Yeah, you've committed to now that you're allowed
what
to.
What have I committed to?
That you're allowed to use this cup.
That's not a commitment.
Yes, it is.
Danny didn't tell me I have to use the cup.
Why is that not
Nachum. Did Danny say I have to use the cup?
No.
I asked Danny, am I allowed to use the cup? And Danny says yes.
Right.
Am I committed to using the cup?
No.
No.
But you accepted the cup.
No, Nachum. I'm not committed to anything. right? When a rabbi tells you something, he says mutter,
right.
Not chiyuv,
right.
But mutter.
Yeah.
Does that bind you to anything?
No.
No. It just tells you that if you now choose
right.
to do something,
it's allowed.
You're allowed to. Wait.
Okay.
So if you think that psak is based on shavua or neder, commitment,
right?
Yeah. So Eva Posick says usser,
right?
He's constrained me.
Right.
I have to listen.
Yes.
But if he said mutter,
right?
So he's left me unconstrained.
He left you with options.
Right, he's left me with all options on the table. By saying mutter, right, when a Posick tells you it's mutter, all options are on the table.
Right. No, because now it's not usser. Usser is out of the picture now.
Yeah, that means he's opened options, yeah. Meaning all options are on the
but
table.
I see what you're saying, but you're accepting it upon yourself that you're allowed
no,
to
do
this now.
But you can't accept that you're allowed to do
Why?
Something. Because you can only make a shvua that restricts you. It's not called, right? You can't take a shvua which expands your options. You can only take a shvua which limits your options.
That's what a shvua is.
Yes, by definition. What do you think a vow is?
But that's not what it sounds like in this case. It sounds like
and that's
the way the rabbi Paskins.
No, no, it's not. Remember, the Gemara only talks about Chomer Dekula.
Like the ring wedding?
Correct. And that's why the Acharonim say that if it's about shvua, if it's about neder,
right.
Then you only can't ask a posek for a second opinion after what?
After he said it's not allowed.
Correct, but if he said it is allowed, you can go to strict because nothing happens.
But something did happen, though.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. It objectively did not. He said...
We said Shua is going from changing your status. Your status now is unknown whether you
No, it's not.
It's constraining.
You're no, it's constraining.
It's not changing.
A shua has to constrain you. It has to make you be able to do less things than you could before, not more.
So saying I have
there to is no a, such thing.
I have saying I take a shua to use this cup.
That's obligating.
Restraining you?
Of course.
Why?
Because before I didn't have to use the cup and now I must.
You can't use a different cup. You have to use this.
You just cup. if you swore, yes.
Full comments. Yeah. Do I have to use this cup to let you die?
What do you mean?
Yes, you have to.
If you
that
swore, you have
only
to
using
right.
that cup.
No,
correct. When you make a swear, when you vow, when you swear,
right.
you now have to either refrain from doing what you said you wouldn't do,
right.
or do what you said you would.
It doesn't make
but
a difference if you make a swear.
Because there's no such thing. A vow by definition. This is a definitional,
okay.
right? Is I have to either commit to doing something that I didn't have to do,
right.
or say I'm not going to do
so
that which
not,
I could have
it's
done.
Not changing
so,
your status.
I have a question.
No, it's constraining
no,
it's you. I said
that. That's why
right?
I have a question. You said earlier
so you
that
said,
it's changing your status.
Not status. It's to change what I was allowed to do, which it didn't.
But you didn't know if you were allowed to do.
No, it has to, meaning it has to limit what I'm allowed to do. Right? It can't expand what you're allowed to do. Right? It can either limit what you can do or obligate you to do something you didn't have to do.
But,
right?
But you,
right.
Now, according to that's the Raivid.
Okay.
According to the Ritva, what would you say?
The Ritva,
right, logically.
Okay.
Logically.
Ritva,
if you think it's Shavi Chadicha Diyisura, what do you think?
Wait,
does it only go Michomra Lakura or Chomra Lakula? Even Mikula Lakhumra rather.
Shavya
Wait,
no, it doesn't say
Ritva's
that.
Idea is that he's taking one of the proofs, isn't it?
And he's giving it a status. So what would you say? Does that work in both directions or not?
It could, but you have to follow the first one that gets you.
No, because it's not in it.
Good. Mm-hmm. So the majority of Achronim...
Wait, I thought we're not going
majority of, the majority of Achronim think that according to the Ritva,
yeah.
it only makes sense to go in one direction.
From Kula
meaning,
to Chumra.
From Chumra, meaning that it's usher to go from Chumra to Kula.
Right.
Why? Yeah. Because they assume that, let's say, you're creating a metaphysical status.
Mm-hmm.
That only makes sense if you're creating a metaphysical status. L'chumra.
For what?
Right. Chumra is stringent. Kula is lenient.
Okay.
Right? Asur mutter.
Yeah.
Right? So the Achronim say... One second. Let me finish my thought. They say that according to the Ritva, it only... Now, this is not Shvua. Right? This is metaphysical status. It only makes sense going in one direction. Meaning, it makes sense to give something a status of Asur.
Right.
Right? But you can't give something a status of mutter. Mutter isn't a status. Mutter is a non-status. Right? Meaning it's not usser. Right? Something is mutter if it's not usser. Right? But that's not a status. So Rav Shul Yisraeli says, right, and others say, it only makes sense, according to the Ritva, right, that if you think that what psak is creating a metaphysical status, that that's only a problem if the first rabbi said Asur and the second one tried to say Mutter.
Right.
That he can't. Because now it's Asur and the second rabbi can't remove that status. But if the first rabbi said Mutter and the second rabbi comes and says Asur, then he could do it. But, is that right?
Well, he can switch. I'm confused because it's said.
No, the Ritva doesn't say it about respect.
Wait, who says that us mutter is not a status?
Okay, so you're allowed.
Many, just some of the achronim within the Ritva.
Otherwise, you'd be allowed to then.
What?
You just said you'd be allowed to go stricter.
I'm asking you, what do you think according to the Ritva? Do you think the achronim are right?
No.
Right.
You can go strict.
That according to the Ritva, that psak is binding not because of respect and not because of shvuah, but because the posek is allowed to create a metaphysical status.
So it doesn't matter which way you die.
Based on the 49 possibilities that were up in heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Should that be one directional or not?
No. No.
So the Achronim think yes, but Nachum says no. Why?
Because they're both...
Nachum's right. I'm just saying that. Yes. Why?
Because when you go, it doesn't matter. Like, they're both statuses. Like,
exactly.
We're all equal.
Right? If it's about Neder, so there's no such status as Mutter.
Right.
But if it's about bringing down a metaphysical status from heaven...
They're both statuses.
And who... And how do I know? How do I know that the Ritva said that? How do I know that Nachum is right? Because he says. Right? That's what Henkin points out.
That's what it
Henkin points out and says it's very nice to say theoretically that you can only create a status of Isser but not a status of Heter. But the Ritva says explicitly that what?
There's both.
That there's both. But the Ritva is careful. Only yes, when. No. The Ritva says only when.
Only when they're both equal.
Correct. The Ritva says if both poskim are of equal stature, so then.
But if one has more chacham.
So one second. So he says if they're both of equal stature, then what?
Then
whatever the first rabbi said, whether it was Asur or Mutter,
right,
that's it, and the second rabbi can't change it in either direction.
If they are equal status?
They're equal. If the rabbis are of equal status. Right? Then the Ritva says,
right,
against what all the Achronim think in the Ritva, he says explicitly that. If the first rabbi said Asur, it is now Asur.
Right.
And the second rabbi can't say Mutter. And the first rabbi said Mutter,
right,
it is now impervious
as Mutter
to a second person saying Asur. It cannot now become Asur. It is now Mutter, like heaven has decided it is now Mutter.
Right.
I mean,
right? But the Ritva says, but if the rabbis aren't of equal status...
So like Ovadia versus like the rabbi...
First of all,
you go
first give him smicha. First give him smicha.
Yeah.
You said Ovadia.
Well... I don't know. Ravadi Yosef.
Thank you.
Versus, the chief rabbi of New Jersey.
What?
Sure.
What about New Jersey? With
those, there are different statuses.
So then the Ritva says. That the second rabbi can overturn it
if he's greater in wisdom.
If he's greater, but only going which direction?
Worse.
Right to Chumrah. Right. So Ritva is a bit of a complicated position. Right. The Ritva says if they're equal. So then you can create a status l'chumra, which now can't be overturned.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can make
so
something usher metaphysically, or leheter, and now it can't be reversed. If the second rabbi is a greater posek, so then if the first rabbi said usher, the second one can't necessarily be the same mutter, right? But...
If he's bigger, you could say...
He might be able to make it usher.
Can he make it mutter?
No.
If he's the first rabbi says... Even if there's a second,
that's what the Ritva says.
But he
there's
said it goes both.
That is,
wait, but that's a contradiction.
The 49 statuses are all equal because they're all on that level.
Contradiction in the Ritva.
Correct. And then when
for yes, 49 for no.
Correct. And then once a posek paskins, what the Ritva seems to be saying is that that status comes down from heaven, right? And now inheres in this object.
Okay. But that's a contradiction.
So that's...
The Ritva said it could go both ways, and then in the second case, he said it only goes.
Well, it's not a contradiction. He does say the difference. Right? He says if the rabbis are of equal status, so then whatever the first rabbi says goes. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra.
You can't change it,
right?
You can't
but he says if the second one is greater, so then he can be more machmir. Now the reason he may say that is as he already said, because maybe the first rabbi would change his mind.
Right.
Right. So that's a bit of play.
So why can't you go from?
So that seems to be the advice. Some level does think that that a status of Isser is more powerful. Correct. So it sounds like he thinks that taking a status of Isser is more powerful. Right? It sounds like that.
I have a question.
Right? I mean, there is one second. There is a status of Chumrah and Kula, but Chumrah is more powerful. Something like that. Yeah.
My question: what does it make a difference if it's a motto also? I understand the whole ideology and everything, but my question is what it makes. What the whole cup thing that you explained with the Nachum? Yeah. What does it make a difference? The motto, the motto.
What do you mean? What does it make a difference? If it's mutter, you can do it. If it's not mutter, you can't. I understand.
No,
what's the question?
It's like your father and the mother. The mother is more powerful than the mother.
I understand.
Father.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about this. Is
the wife runs a house.
I'm talking about
fact.
When he does nasa, when he takes, when he takes upon him a vow, he's more strict. I say it's more strict that he's not allowed to do this. Is that what you expect? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, what does make it? What is it? So what's the difference between mutter and nasa?
Mutter means you can. Asr means you can't. I don't understand the question. Mutter means mutter. Asr means asr.
That's it. I thought that it was.
Mutter means you're allowed to. Asr means you're not allowed to. That's literally the difference of 100%. Yes versus no.
Okay, no, I thought that it's like, because if it doesn't make a difference, if, because of if you take a vow, there's more. I say you said that there's more.
I said if you take a vow, it has to be restrictive.
Yeah.
So the posik said it's mutter.
Yeah.
And you think the reason you're bound to psak is because you took a vow.
Yeah, I understand.
So then
that.
You can't take a vow that something is mutter. That's
okay.
A meaningless statement.
Yeah, logically.
Right, but you can, that something's usher.
Okay.
She said, what's the difference? The difference is literally yes or no. That's 100%. Right? If it's a vow that something is mutter, you can't take such a vow. It's meaningless. Right. If the vow is that something's usher, you can and you have to.
Well, if it's usher, you mean?
Right. That's why the difference of mutter and usher is 100%.
Are these only with
you said, what's the difference? The difference is everything.
No, I understand, but
are these,
really...
are these things that are deoraita? Only?
No.
I'm thinking,
no, even Drabanan.
Well, I'm thinking about stuff that's like, in these sects, because, like, think of Harabai, okay? Some people, there are poskim that say yes, it's okay, and some who don't say, some say not to.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, you have people who follow both sides. If it's like what we said here with Ritva, wouldn't you only be able to follow one? It's not, unless the one with the greater stature, the rabbi with the greater stature, you follow his.
Wait, let us be very clear. What are we talking about here, and what are we not talking about here? Remember, what is the context of this entire sugya? Very importantly, what is the...
You mean like a vodazara?
No.
Context?
What is the context of this whole... What is the question we're trying to answer?
Are you allowed to have more than one answer?
Wrong. Two different
rabbis? No. What is it?
Are you allowed to go to two different rabbis?
Thank you. Those are not the same thing. No, it's you have to have asked.
Okay.
Right? This entire sugya is only relevant once you asked a question. Right? What you're talking about is there are different opinions in the world. That's irrelevant.
Oh, it's for more for yourself.
This is a case... The whole point of this Gemara is not... Right? The second half of the Gemara, right, is what do you do when you haven't asked? Right? Before you've asked, if there's a machlokes, so then the Gemara says what? According to, right, the Gemara says...
It's...
B'daraisa holeichach... Right, the conclusion of the Gemara is B'daraisa holeichach aramach. Mer b'daban holeichach aramekel. Right, by biblical law you go l'chumra, and by rabbinic law you go. Sorry, by biblical law you go l'chumra. Yeah, by rabbinic law you go l'kula. But here we're not talking about a case where there's just stama machlokes. We're talking about a case where you asked a question, right?
Okay.
When you asked a question, it doesn't matter that there are other opinions in the world. You asked. So now you are bound.
So that's what I'm doing actually right now. Chaim was just talking about Harabai and the rules of Harabai. Same time.
That is meaningless from this perspective.
Why?
You went to a shir. You didn't ask a shaila.
No, I asked him personally also. Like,
what did you ask him?
I want to ask, this is by everybody that you're allowed to go on Harabai, and they say, is that some poskim yes, some poskim no?
That's not a psak.
It's not, okay, so unless...
If you said, can I go? That would be a psak.
Oh, okay.
If you ask him, are you allowed to go? And he says, some say yes, some say no. Right, that's not a psak.
It's not, okay.
A psak is, let's be very clear, right? Look at the Gemara. This is very important, okay? And this is, let's move to this point now. A psak, by its definition, is not a theoretical question. It is not, what do people say? It is not, are there opinions that justify?
What about if it's something that
it is,
what do people do?
Can I do this? Period. That's it.
Hypothetical.
What if it's
this word?
It's not hypothetical. If you say hypothetical, it is not a psak.
Only as an individual or as your specific sect? Like, Brock and Sfaradi Jew.
No. You ask a shaila. You. Not your friends, not your family, not your parents. You.
I ask it on behalf of, like, what do Brock and Sfaradi do in this case?
Did they send you to ask?
No, I asked my rabbi back in Florida.
No, did all Moroccan Jews ask you?
Yeah, we don't know.
So then when you got a shaila, when you asked the shaila, then they are not bound. They didn't ask.
Because they are not bound. Still, I am.
If you say, what should I do because I'm Moroccan, and someone says, as a Moroccan, I think you should do this, then you are bound.
Yeah,
if you say, what should Moroccan Jews do, other Moroccan Jews are not bound to what you just said.
No, I'm saying, what do Moroccan Jews do? I'm not saying, what do we do? What should, I said, no one knows. I ask,
if you're asking a theoretical...
I just don't know. Other people might know.
If you're asking theoretically, it's not a psak.
Is it theoretically? I mean, I need to know factually whether I need to go...
So it depends. How are you asking? If you ask, what should I do?
Yeah.
That's a. Then you're asking a Shaila.
But I didn't ask. I asked it intentionally for myself, but I asked in the context of what is the list.
You can't ask for multiple.
I'm
people.
Not asking
you only
for
ask people.
For yourself. Like, it's in this sect of people.
He's saying,
what
he's
is their ruling? I don't know the ruling. They
he's
might know the ruling. I'm not
right.
asking on behalf
that's
of them.
That's
on behalf
you
of them.
So
I need to know what they do in general sense. Of course, the Rav would know.
That is not sock.
It's
not
sock.
No, sock is only. No, no. Listen. Sock. Is only where I say, what should I do?
Okay.
Not theoretical. Theoretical, psak, is not psak. It's not, right? It just isn't, right? The whole point here is, right? And that's what's amazing about the sugya, because it's very clear. What is the Ritva saying? Right? That when I ask a shayla, right? What am I doing?
You're putting the students in yourself.
Good, right? I'm giving him the power to decide for me. Right, based on this, right? Let me sharpen what I'm saying. Okay, I understand this is hard to wrap your head around, but let me put it this way. Okay. Okay. This is in the Rama, based on the Rashba. Okay. Let's say on Sunday you ask Ruchai Moser. Can I go up to Har HaBayit this Sunday?
And
what does he say?
He probably wouldn't give a definitive.
So, but let's say he said yes.
I actually asked.
Right? Let's say he said no.
Said no.
Let's say no. Right?
Yeah.
And next week you ask me, well, I'm not going to say yes. Ask somebody else. Right? Can I go to Har HaBayit? And he says yes. Are you allowed to do that?
No.
Incorrect. You're allowed to.
Boy, I missed that
case. Okay.
Weren't we saying it's only to become more strict?
But you missed it. You missed what I did. Okay, let's try this again. If I go to a posik and say, is swordfish kosher?
Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
Right?
I learned about it for swordfish.
It is complicated.
Let's just,
that's why I'm bringing it, because it's complicated, right?
Yeah.
So if I say, is swordfish usser or mutter? And he says, usser. So now, am I ever allowed to eat swordfish?
No.
Right? I tell him, I want you to paskin for me. And he says, no, it's not kosher.
Don't
am I ever allowed to eat swordfish?
No.
No. Correct. What happens if that's not what I do? I'm at a meal, and they're serving swordfish. So I ask the rabbi, can I eat this dinner? And he says,
yes.
No.
He says no.
But the next week, I'm at another meal, and there's a different rabbi there. And it's the same dish. Right? And I turn to the other rabbi and say, can I eat this dinner? And he says, yes. Am I allowed to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's two different... You're asking on two different things.
Correct.
You asked about this dinner. You didn't ask...
Exactly.
About
no. Exactly. No.
Change the question.
You're asking on the same thing about two...
Nope. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You said this dinner. You didn't
doesn't
say
matter.
Fish. You said
doesn't
this
matter.
Dinner.
Exactly.
Ah.
And the Rama says explicitly...
It's a loophole.
Right? The Rama says explicitly that kol zeb usa hora'a atzma. Right? What gives the posek the power in psak is that you asked him. And therefore, by definition, his psak is limited to what?
That thing you asked him on.
To whatever you asked about.
That's
if you
it.
Asked about this meal,
this is such a loophole.
Then it's only this meal. If you ask about swordfish in general,
you gotta be careful. If you say, can I eat this in general?
And I will
says,
read
no,
it to you.
You're screwed. If you say, can I eat this block of cheese? And he says no, then you're good.
And I'll read it to you in the Rama. The Rama is clear. He says, kol ze be'osa hora'a atzma.
Oh.
Avo b'ma'ase acher. Another story. Even if it's the same halachic question. Pshita.
Simple.
It's obvious. Yachal horiz mashinirei lav. Psak. And this is what's amazing about it. This is what I like pointing out. Is that, in general, if I ask you, is halacha a system that empowers non-Talmidei Chachamim?
Can you put that in English?
Who's in charge in Psak? Poskim or Balabatim?
post-game?
So you would think post-game.
It's Balabate.
But at some level, it's Balabate.
Whatever they ask on.
Correct. Because what's clear about this sugya is that however you take it, what binds you or what obligates you?
The thing that you ask.
Asking.
Right.
Right? By asking a shayla. Now, I'll give you from Rishali Israeli. Rishali Israeli puts it this way. So he says, you know what psak is? His idea. He said, you know what the ritva means? When you ask a shayla, what you are doing is you are giving the rabbi the power to be your posek, to be your rebbe, but only insofar as you asked him. Right? And therefore, who really holds the power at some level?
You.
You.
Wait,
because
so
you have the power. Now, if you don't know the halakha, you have to ask somebody.
Right.
But who you ask, and how expansively you ask, and how much power you invest in that posek comes down to
you.
To you.
So if he says
what happens
mutter,
if it's not so much a rabbi? Like another example, I ask my you people. Everyone here benches that one person does it, and you listen to him bench. You answer him every long. It counts as if you bench. I asked my father, do I follow like that if I have to do it, or do I continue, do I also bench along the phone, as if I don't answer? And my answer, he's like, I don't know, he tells me, I don't know what this whole thing, I don't know this thing about answering to answering benching is,
the Gemara.
It counts for you.
It's the Gemara.
Right, but basically my family, we don't do that.
It's the Gemara.
What?
It's the Gemara. It's no, no one argues on this. Nobody.
No one?
No one in the history of the world.
Why does no one do it then?
Because the
at least in my community they don't do that.
Because the post can say
have to have
right. The post can say it's hard.
Yeah.
No one disagrees that that's the ideal way. Everyone agrees that's the ideal way. The only question is whether in practice it's a good idea. Right. Most people don't do it, as the post can explain, because they can't concentrate. Right. And therefore you say it mila by mila. But everyone agrees that if you did have in mind and you did it, that's the best way of doing benching. Everybody agrees to that. Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, doesn't matter who you are. The only question is, knowing that most people can't have kavana, what's the best way to do it?
Everyone does it.
Right? But no one you're right, most people don't do it.
Are you still going to say that way?
What? If you don't have kavana? No.
I'm saying if you bench by yourself.
Of course, if you bench by yourself.
I answer the moon, but I don't listen to them. I'm praying.
So you have to say it word by word, the first bracha. You have to, yes.
Oh, okay.
You're really supposed to. You're really supposed to.
You're supposed to read the first bracha out loud when you're...
Correct. That is correct. You're really, really ideally you should do all of it, but at least the first bracha. Okay, but let me just... Wait, I'm losing my thought here.
You're saying the power was in you based on how much power you give in.
Right. So you invest in with it, that power, right? But that's the amazing thing about this, the sugya, right? That what becomes clear is that what makes psak binding...
Is you asking
the question. Yeah. That's the later one. Right, that's not, that's clear. That's not a case of a shayla right now. That's a theoretical case.
What do you mean?
Right? The first half of the Gemara is about asking a shayla. The second half is, let's say no one asked a shayla. The question is, now we're trying to figure out what the halacha is in a vacuum. Right? So then Rav Shulchan Karcha says, so by Darais we go Lachumra. And by Darma we go Lakula.
So that's
now, by the way, I should clarify. Now I want to make a very important part.
So you can't go to Kula.
So I want to make a very important point from the Ovar Orach. Right? The Orach makes a point and he says, let's be clear what the Gemara on that is saying. Gemara is saying, if you don't know the halacha, then b'darais you go l'chomra and b'drabanan you go l'kula.
Right.
But if you think the right answer is kula,
right,
then you can be makil even in daraisa. All the Gemara is saying is when you're not sure, right? Meaning when you're not sure, so then by biblical law you have to go l'chomra and by d'rabanan law you can go l'kula.
Right.
But if you are sure, right, meaning you learn this sugya and you really think it's mutter, so you're allowed to be, you're allowed to say mutter even if it's daraisa.
Right.
It's only
but
saying
if you ask the rabbi and the rabbi says it's mutter.
We're not talking about ask the rabbi. The second half of the Gemara isn't about asking.
I'm saying like if you do.
So if there's a suffix, then usually by daraisa go l'chumra, daraban go l'kula.
So understand what is getting at.
I'm saying, like, if the rabbi
really
has
to, what's the conclusion to it?
Why do you always ask that question? It's a machlokes. What are you asking me?
Well, the weird thing in all this is, like, you told me in the beginning of Ian, that nothing's definitive. So why would you be? Why would there be such definitive? Rabbis don't give definitive answers now.
Does they? Of course they do.
Really?
Of course they do. If you ask someone, I don't want it to be theoretical. Tell me what to do. If you ask someone, they will often tell you this is what you should do. Yes, yeah. Poskim will do that. They just will. we'll see the Ramah. We're probably going to have to do it on like Wednesday because on Sunday, Monday, I'm giving shir for everybody, right? Because Regensburg is the end. No, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think is Regensburg's Chavrusa is giving his shir. Right, Rindy.
If you have a suffix deraisa and you ask the rabbi and the rabbi says mutter, even though that's chula,
that's fine.
Can you go against the rabbi and say
depends, right? That's what we're talking about. According to the Ritva, no, you shouldn't do that, right?
The Ritva says the suffix deraisa.
Now, I'll throw out one more thing, but I really got to get Talmudim here. Some achronim have a very fancy thing and say it depends on whether the shayla is chefza oriented or gafra oriented.
Meaning,
if I ask the rabbi about an object, is this kosher or not kosher? So then it makes sense to say that the reason it's usur is because of a neder or because you created a status.
Right.
But if I don't ask him, is this kosher or not, but can I do something so there's no object to give a status to?
Well, like, can you
so Rav Henkin suggests that when the question is about an object, so then, why is the psak binding? Because you create a chalos. But if you're asking about how I should act,
that's by far.
Then it has to be one of the others, right? It has maybe it's about kavod because you can't create a status. I'm not sure that's true. Maybe you can.
Well, that's what
I don't
you
know.
Said about the
you can't. Yeah. You can't. Okay. I gotta run.